Please be warned that some of the information presented contains graphic descriptions of violent acts which may be disturbing to you. Also, we recommend that young people listen to these programs only with the direct participation of their parents or other appropriate adult guardianship. Missing People Podcast. Program 1. Psychics and Missing People. Read by Sue Rasmussen. Narrated by Al Rasmussen. Written by Kelly Jolkowski. Adapted for audio by David Anderson. Produced and directed by Steve Bronham. Hello, I'm Al Rasmussen for the Missing People Podcast. With this program, we're introducing a series that Kelly Jolkowski first created and posted on her blog in March of 2006. She titled her work The Introduction to Psychics and Missing People Series. Kelly is the founder and president of ProjectJason.org, an organization dedicated to assisting the missing and their family and friends. On June 13, 2001, her son Jason, then 19 years of age, disappeared without a trace and has not been seen or heard from since. That day forever changed Kelly, her husband Jim, and their son Michael's lives. This is part of their story.
Mysterious things have always intrigued me. As children, my brothers and I liked to scare other kids with tales of ghosts, other creatures, space aliens. There were times when we even had other parents complain that we gave their kids nightmares. We loved all the horror and science fiction movies and TV shows. As a teenager, I discovered ESP, Ouija boards, and prophecy. At one time, I believed the silliness about the world ending long before now, as stated by late great Planet Earth author Hal Lindsey. I even had my little brother scared to the point of tears with that one. I grew up, married, and had two sons. As a working mom raising a family, I didn't have time to continue studying the paranormal, and I still wonder if ghosts and aliens exist. And if I visited Loch Ness, would I see old Nessie? I think the mysteries of life keep us on our toes, always seeking the answers. I would hate for there to be no mysteries. Life would be very boring if we had it all figured out. Unfortunately, I have a mystery in my life that I'd really like to solve. My son Jason has been missing without a trace for over 5 years. In fact, this summer it will be 6 long years. No one has been able to figure out what happened to him. Not even the best investigators. In the course of this fruitless search, and also with the birth of Project Jason, came an undesirable element. That is what I call the advantage takers. Advantage takers include any person or organization which uses this tragic situation for personal gain. That gain may not always be in the form of money either. We, the families of the missing, are victims in several ways. If our loved one has been taken from us in a brutal way, we are victims. We may also be victims of a poorly constructed and trained law enforcement structure. We may be victims of society's apathy to our plight because of prejudices against missing persons, particularly adults. We, again, may be the victims of a non-responsive media. There is one method of victimization that can be avoided, however, and that is by people who claim to be able to find your missing loved one via paranormal means. Some of these persons try to play on guilt in that they say people in our position should try any legal means possible to find their missing loved one. It is subtly implied that if we are not willing to subject ourselves to this, then we must not really care about finding our missing loved ones. It's a chance we should always take, we are told. Today begins my series on psychics and missing people. I have several stories about these people and my own experiences with them, plus experiences of other family members of the missing. And, as you might expect, none of these cases have been solved by using paranormal means. We'll also hear from world-renowned experts in the field as we present the information. Prior to my blog starting early in 2006, my stories have never been told, and very few people knew about them. I wish I had written these down at the time, but the experiences were too hurtful. All I could do was try to forget the horror and the pain. It's time for me to share this with you. It's time to help stop you from being hurt by these advantage takers. There are several goals I have for this series, but before going into that, it may be helpful to clarify our position. There is not one proven case in which a psychic, using special powers or abilities not given to the typical person, has located a missing person, whether dead or alive. It may be possible that some persons have an ability that defies science and logic, but there is no known scientific evidence of this. These persons re-victimize families by taking away hope where it should stand, and giving hope where there is none. No person has the right to do this to another. Psychics and other users of purported paranormal phenomena cause unnecessary and damaging pain and anguish to families of the missing. They can also add to financial stress if they charge fees. We're already on a roller coaster ride of events and emotions, and we should have no desire to add to it. What we wish to accomplish in this series is to demonstrate to families of the missing the methods used by these people. Understanding what goes on behind the scenes should decrease any guilt feelings for not accepting offers of, quote, help, close quote, from these persons, whether it is fee-based or not. We want to lessen the pain already present in our every breath and arm families with the information to defend themselves against these persons. Mark Kloss, founder of Kloss Kids and father of abducted, then murdered child Polly Kloss, said it well.
I have very strong feelings about psychics. They're part of a second wave of predators. The first wave is the person who takes the child. The second is the ambulance-chasing lawyers, the exploitation journalists and psychics. They're off the mark, every last one of them.
I don't know if you have children or not, and even if you don't, why don't you imagine the person you love most in the world? Imagine that they're gone, and you have no idea what has happened to them. Dozens and perhaps even hundreds of people come forward offering their help. They tell you all sorts of things, none of them the same as the others, and none of them ever results in finding the missing loved one. Regardless, you must listen to all of it over and over again, lest you be accused of not wanting to find your missing loved one. You must listen to them tell you the most horrid things you can imagine being done to one person by another. You must listen to them telling you that your missing loved one was stabbed, beaten, then their head was bashed in. You must listen as they tell you that your missing loved one was still alive, whimpering and asking for help as they drew their last breath. And no one was listening. He or she was all alone. And then the end came. Nearly all of these people who come to you offering help want you to go through something like that. How did you feel hearing that? How many times would you want to hear stories like that? What do you think that does to a person? Do you think it's healthy? How is it that it's called helping? Nothing has ever come of it except for pain. Is pain helpful? Does pain find the missing person? Would you ask someone you care about to go through that? You do if you encourage use of psychics and or invite them into the circle of pain experienced by a missing person's family. Granted, this is one of the worst cases of this type of thing, but people who are not in this position have no idea of the roller coaster ride of emotions that we ride daily. We live with an ongoing trauma. Anyone in the medical field can understand what trauma does to a person mentally and physically. To add to that trauma needlessly is not a good idea. Needlessly refers to the fact that persons using paranormal means have not proven themselves useful in finding missing persons. A missing person's family member is among the most vulnerable in society. They have been weakened by the ongoing trauma, living without knowing what has become of their missing loved one. They may also be experiencing depression. The stress may begin to manifest itself in the form of various physical ailments. While they may be experiencing both mental and physical deterioration, desperation is then born of the feelings of helplessness and despair. There may be no activity on the case, so they feel they have to take some action, any action. Media attention and police attention wane, and families are left feeling alone. Many times they are encouraged by others to seek out these persons, not realizing just how empty they will feel afterwards. They bottom out, so to speak, emotionally, when nothing comes of the lead. This all becomes a vicious circle. No leads in the case equals desperation on the part of the family. No leads or activity also equals no media coverage, which in turn increases the desperation and may prompt family members to engage in less than rational acts. Their desperation propels them along a fruitless road that only ends in disappointment. All too often, they are accompanied on this road by the advantage takers.
In order to understand what will be presented in the remainder of this series, it may be helpful to have a basic understanding of the types of paranormal activities that may relate to missing persons cases. Channeling. The ability of a spirit to enter the body of a living person to communicate through them. Clairaudience. The ability of a psychic to hear things that cannot be heard by a typical person, such as voices of the dead. Clairvoyance. The ability of a psychic to see things that cannot be seen by a typical person. Divination. The claim that one can foretell the future by interpreting omens, such as tea leaves and sacred stones. Dowsing. Using a rod, stick, or other device to locate objects such as underground water, buried money, and missing persons. ESP, or extrasensory perception. The ability to know things that do not come to us as a result of using our senses. Intuitive. A person who claims to have psychic abilities. Medium. A person who claims the dead communicate through them. Mentalist. A person who creates the illusion of having special powers. Paranormal. An event that appears to defy scientific explanation. Remote viewing. Claimed ability to be able to see places, persons, and actions that occur out of sensory range. Trance or automatic writing. Includes writing that is directed by a spirit or spirits. Also important to the series is a brief description of the common methods used by psychics to convince their victims that they have paranormal abilities. Cold reading. A method used by psychics to get their victim to react in a specific manner and to believe the psychic has paranormal abilities. Hot reading. A method used by psychics to gather information used in a reading beforehand without the victim's knowledge. Shotgunning. A cold reading method in which several pieces of information are given to the victim in rapid-fire succession in an attempt to find a match to the victim's own data. Warm reading. A method used by psychics in which they convince the victim of their paranormal abilities by using common descriptions which could apply to most persons.
Nothing is ever normal again when a child disappears. A person experiencing the loss of a child or other loved one in this way is seemingly transported into a parallel existence, one that is as surreal as it is painful. A simple trip to the grocery store can trigger overwhelming feelings of sadness. Walking down the aisle, you see a mother and her children. The mother smiles as she bends down to pick up the youngest child. The older ones are laughing and teasing each other. You stare at them as you remember your own family intact, and that there used to be laughter. You want to reach out and be a part of that again, but there is a barrier, and you cannot break through. It is as if they do not see you at all. They are oblivious to your pain and longing. There are times that you want to scream, "Don't you know that I have a child missing? Why are you laughing?" But you won't be heard. You're going down the cereal aisle and you reach out and take a box of your younger child's favorite cereal. Your hand brushes another box, knocking it off the shelf. You reach down to pick it up. It is the brand that is your missing loved one's favorite. You feel your cheeks burning, and you fight back the tears as you place it on the shelf. You're driving down the road, and you see a young man walking down the sidewalk. His gait seems familiar. As you come closer, you can't help but notice that he looks very much like your missing loved one. You strain to look at him as you drive by, but traffic doesn't allow you to slow down. So you turn around at the next corner. It seems as if your heart has stopped beating in that moment of longing and hoping. The car moves closer and closer, and then, in a split second, it's over. It wasn't him. It never is. A single tear cascades down your cheek as you drive home. As you get closer to home, a song comes on the radio. It is his favorite song. You try to listen, but you can't. You pull into the garage in silence. The door goes down. You sit in your car until the light in the garage goes out. There is no awareness of the passage of time. Another family member comes to help bring the groceries into the house and asks, "What are you doing?" "I was just listening to a song," you state, as your voice fades. What you have just heard is an intimate peek into everyday activities, once mundane and now altered by the ambiguous loss faced by families of the missing. To listeners who have not had this unfortunate experience, I assure you, this is normal behavior, particularly in the beginning. Some family members, sadly, don't move far beyond this existence. In relation to our topic, considering the state of mind of a family member, it is no wonder that they may be easily led into trying anything to find their child. At times, family members just agree so as not to fight. There's no energy left over. Decisions may be made based upon a small worldview shaped by the media and opinions of other family and friends. Rational thinking is replaced by an emotional-based decision-making process. Using psychics never occurred to me in the beginning. I was still, at that time, very open to many things of a paranormal nature, and I did not question my beliefs. A friend of a relative had been to a conference in Kansas City, and there she met a woman who claimed to be a psychic. She told the woman about Jason. Coincidentally, the woman and her partner were planning a trip to Omaha in the near future. The relative told me about this woman and asked if I would talk to her. I agreed, and the friend made the arrangements for the psychic to call me at home. Had I known what I do now, I would have never agreed to this, and would certainly not have spoken to her on the phone. I was entirely ignorant to the process the psychics use. During the phone call, I answered any and all questions put to me about Jason and the case, not even thinking how my answers would be used later in an attempt to secure my belief in her. There was another phone conversation, and I was told that they would be coming to Omaha for other reasons and would meet with me to tell me about Jason. She said that she already knew what had happened to him, but that a session with me, his mother, along with using some of Jason's possessions, might give her more information. The day of the meeting arrived. I had the requested items of Jason's gathered and placed in a bag. I was to meet the woman and her partner in a Southwest Omaha motel. It never occurred to me that it was surely not a wise thing to be going to meet strangers alone in a motel room. My state of mind at that time threw caution to the winds. I wanted to find my son. I was like a soldier, battered and weary from the daily struggle, trudging along in the direction in which I was pointed. I had no idea what I was walking into.
To be continued. This has been a Missing People podcast production of Kelly Jolkowski's Psychics and Missing People series. Audio adaptation by David Anderson. Produced and directed by Steve Branham. Original music created and performed by Ariana Kima. Copyright 2006-2007. All rights reserved. I'm Al Rasmussen. Thank you for listening.